We really need new phones.
T-Mobile will cover the cost of four amazing new iPhone 15s, and each line is only $25 a month.
New iPhone 15s? It's better
over here. Only at T-Mobile, get four iPhone 15s on us and four lines for $25 per line per month with eligible trade-in when you switch.
Minimum of 4 lines for $25 per line per month with auto pay discount using debit or bank account. $5 more per line without auto pay, plus taxes and fees. Phone fee at 24 monthly bill credits for well qualified customers. Contact us before canceling account to continue bill credits or credit stop and balance on required finance agreement due. $35 per line connection charge applies. See T-Mobile.com.
Baseball is back, and so is MLB.tv. Watch every out-of-market, regular season game on your favorite streaming devices. Anywhere, anytime, all season long. Follow the action live or on demand. Track four games at once with multi-view mode and catch up with in-game highlights. Plus, original programs, minor league broadcasts, and local pre- and post-game shows. Go to MLB.tv to start your free trial today. Blackout and other restrictions apply. Major League Baseball trademarks used with permission.
Hey, let's see what our heart at.
I believe it.
Check your heart.
For the next 2 hours, get ready as we cover the NFL like no one else. This is the Wade Ford Tailgate Show.
We're between the white lines. This is football. This is football. Welcome to the big leagues. Welcome to the big leagues.
A complete look around the NFL and especially our Falcons.
This is the Wade Ford Tailgate Show.
On the home for our Falcons, Sports Radio 92.9, The Game.
Well, it's kind of warm and rainy here in Atlanta, but I can assure you, after looking at some of the pictures up in Buffalo, it is not the same type of weather. We welcome you into the Wade Ford Tailgate Show,
Happy
Sports
New
Radio
Year.
99 The Game. Happy New Year, Happy Hugh New Douglas, Year. To you, as we are live in the Kia Studios here on this Sunday morning. Going to be with you, of course, till 11 o'clock, at which point Falcons pregame coverage will take over, and we will get you ready for Falcons and the Buffalo Bills coming up today at 1 o'clock. Hard to believe we've only got this week and then next week at home against New Orleans to round out the season, and that's it. And believe it or not, this expanded new regular season of the NFL will be over in just a couple of weeks.
Man, it went quick, didn't it? It felt like it went kind of quick.
We were joking about that with the college football season. We were like, I remember sitting in August and we were like, okay, let's get ready for college football. And here we are with only, one major game left.
You know what the funny thing about it is? Even though it's almost over, it'll be ramped back up. What, in a couple of weeks, it's going to ramp right back up.
Like, oh, for the NFL?
Well, everything, to talk, all
oh,
of that.
Oh, yeah.
Talk in a few weeks, yeah.
This is the thing about the NFL, and I think you and I have talked about this, Nobody does a better job in professional sports of keeping their league relevant all season long. I mean, the NFL has not just made its regular season and playoffs matter. They make combines matter. They make drafts matter. They make free agency matter. It's a whole cottage industry is what the NFL has been able to do.
Definitely, man. And it's, we had the Pro Football Hall of Fame finalist list that came out. That was pretty cool.
Are you okay with Devin Hester? Are you on board with Devin Hester being a Hall of Famer?
You know what, man? Listen.
Oh, please tell me you're not going to break my
this
heart.
This is what I feel about. I think Devin Hester's a phenomenal player, and he changed the game. He definitely changed the game, no question about that. But the Pro Football Hall of Fame is a popularity contest. And it's one of those things where you look at some of the guys that are in, and you look at what the criteria used to be, and what some of the guys are getting in on, and I just don't think it matches up. Just for instance, like I would say Tony Boselli. Tony Boselli was a hell of a player, but he was hurt.
I don't think Tony Boselli is an NFL. He's a college Hall of Famer.
Yeah,
he should be.
Like,
he was a first team All-American three times
Tony
at
Boselli
USC, but not in the NFL.
Tony Boselli was touted as one of the best defensive linemen to
ever
play.
He's left tackle.
Yeah, you're right. Yeah, my bad. Because you know what's funny? I was going, like, the game that I had three sacks against Jacksonville, that was supposed to be my matchup, but he was hurt.
Yeah.
And I just think about I wonder how that game would have went if he would have played.
But he's also, like, a really nice guy.
We're on the same page.
Yeah,
we're on the same page.
But Devin Hester should be a Hall of
Famer. Devin Hester changed the game.
Listen, if you were in Atlanta when Devin Hester was here, Devin Hester won this football team games. He's that good of a player.
Devin Hester – like, that is not a question for me.
But I'm with you on the idea of
– it's a popularity contest.
Tony Boselli's college resume. He was a four-time first-team All-Pac-12 player, three-time first-team All-American. He's a college football Hall of Famer through and through. NFL Hall of Famer, he's more known for being injured than he is for anything else in his career.
And that's what I'm saying. I would say Jake Matthews, for his longevity, is more of a Hall of Famer in my eyes than Tony Boselli at this level. Yeah, that's what I'll go there.
And again, I like Tony Boselli. I'm not putting him in the Hall of Fame. And I'll be honest with you, there's a lot of those receivers and things like that, too, that I wouldn't put in the Hall of Fame either.
What, Reggie Wayne's name? He's pretty decent. It's just like, and it's hard.
This is what I'll say about wide receivers quickly, okay? In like this era of the last whatever you want to say, 15, 20 years.
Era?
Yeah, like
in
15.
This era of extreme passing.
You saw Randy Moss, right?
Yes.
Okay. Did you know that guy named Terrell Owens?
Oh, definitely.
Okay. Those two guys were at the Marvin Harrison, those guys were at the tippy top of the food chain, right?
Tippy top.
Okay. Those guys are no brainers.
Yes.
There's a lot of guys underneath them that were like really good players that weren't those guys. And to me, Hall of Famer should be like what those guys are. Because no matter what people think about Terrell Owens personally or this, any other.
Oh, he was a beast.
On the football field, you can't be better than Terrell Owens.
No.
Or Randy Moss or Marvin Harrison.
Totally agree.
So there's a whole, and I'll even say, I don't think Isaac Bruce is a Hall of Famer. I don't think Torrey Holt's a Hall of Famer. I think they were great players. But in their era, were those guys better than the Terrell Owens and Randy Mosses and Marvin Harrisons? I just think that there are guys that put up lots of stats, and I think we're getting in an era, Hugh, where there are a lot of stats put up by guys that people just kind of gravitate instantly to some of that. The reason I always say that Matt Ryan I don't think is a Hall of Famer is because he didn't win the Super Bowl. Matt Ryan's going to have all the stats in the world. I don't think Matt Ryan's a Hall of Fame quarterback because in today's era, it's not about your stats. It's about did you win. I don't think Phillip Rivers is a Hall of Fame quarterback. I don't think Matt Ryan's a Hall of Fame quarterback. I wouldn't vote for Matt Ryan in the Hall of Fame, not because I don't like Matt. He's had a great career, but NFL is based on this. That position is based on your success, not your stats.
I would say this. I think that Matt Ryan is a Hall of Famer, and I've been saying that.
Sure.
Because it's funny to me how, to your point, people to say Phillip Rivers is a Hall of Famer without question.
Well, if he's in the Hall of Fame, then Matt has to go in the Hall of Fame.
Matt Ryan has had a better career than Phillip Rivers. Yeah. We're on the same page. That's why I say, to me, all respect due to everybody that has been on the ballot to get in the Hall of Fame, all of that. But I think it's a popularity contest.
Well, I'll be honest, Hugh. I mean, I've seen some of the guys. You're better than some of the guys that are in the Hall of Fame.
I would agree with that, but I'm not the popular individual. Like, if I'd have played a few more years, it wouldn't have been a question.
Right.
No question about that. And I'm okay with that. I am totally okay with that. But when I see certain things.
If you'd have gotten to 100 sacks, there'd be no doubt. Yeah.
I'm okay with that. But you see certain guys, like Jared Allen, to me, Hall of Fame.
Oh, Jared Allen's.
Jared Allen was a beast.
Yeah.
Jared Allen was a beast.
But see,
Robert Mathis, Hall of Fame.
You're going to disagree with me on this, I know. See, I'm not as convinced like Kevin Green's a Hall of Famer. I'm not as convinced that Kevin Green is a, and I know most people because of his numbers and everything like that. I'm not as convinced he's a Hall of Famer.
Kevin Green was a beast though.
Okay,
him and Greg. I would say Greg Lloyd should be in the Hall of Fame.
Greg Lloyd's a great player.
Yeah.
But see, I'll throw out another name. I don't think he's in the Hall of Fame, and people are going to laugh when I say this. Mark Gastineau.
Mark Gastineau was a beast.
Mark Gastineau was on the All-Decade team.
Yes.
Was one of the starting defensive ends on the All-Decade team.
You know why he's not in the Hall of Fame?
Well, he's a goofball and all that stuff. Yeah, but
Mark was different. I had a chance to meet Mark Gastineau when I took the number 99 because he came to the Jets facility and was like, dude.
And he was married at one time to Brigitte Nielsen,
yes,
right?
Yes, he was.
Stallone's
Mark
ex-wife.
My vivid memory of Mark Gastineau was when he was like, yo, dog, what you doing wearing my number? But he was like, it's cool. You can wear it. He gave me his permission after the fact. They didn't like him in New York.
They didn't like him at the Jets. I mean, and that was the New York sack exchange was Joe Klecko,
yes.
And it was
they cannot
Gastineau.
Stand him. Marty Lyons.
Yes.
Joe
that's
Klecko.
A hell of a defense.
Salah, I forgot that he had Abdul Salah, something like that.
Oh, yes. They had a hell of a team. That's Freeman McNeil at running back and Richard Todd, the Alabama quarterback.
When I tell you, Marty Lyons was doing radio when I got drafted, and you know when I took the number 99 because I wanted to wear 53, but they told me I couldn't wear it. They said I couldn't wear it because I'm not a linebacker, yada yada, whatever. So when you mentioned Mark Gastineau's name to Marty, Oh, man, it just invokes all kind of hatred. Like, they hated that guy.
But look at his numbers in the era that he played in.
Oh, it was a beast.
And he is on the all-decade team. He was a dominant player in his time.
Do you know what I remember from Mark Gastineau? Remember the NFL fastest lineman challenge?
Oh, yes,
and
I do.
He crushed that thing.
Yeah. I love that. I mean, I'm not a Jets fan, but I love that group
sack,
of guys.
They used to hate him because of that sack dance he did. Right. Oh, my goodness.
But I mean, it's funny because he started stuff like that. And you
nobody
know,
gives him credit.
And he really did bring the sack statistic to popularity in the NFL. Like, you know, because people talk about the Deacon Jones and stuff like that. Yeah. Like they say if they'd have kept track of Deacon Jones' numbers.
He'd have had like 3 million sacks
or something like that. But Gastineau was in that era where that stat really became popular in the NFL. I mean, whether you like him or not, that you can debate all of that, but you can't deny what his influence was on the NFL and how good of a player he was. At his peak, there was nobody better in the NFL at what he did. I mean, so – and he brought the stacks – I can't even say it.
Yeah.
The sack statistic, you know, into prominence in the NFL.
Because it became popular.
Yeah, because they don't start counting sacks until 1982, I believe is the year that sacks became an official stat.
He was a beast, man. He was a beast, and he used to bring it off that corner. Like, you talk about – like, when you look at that old school film or those – like, that's when defensive linemen were big as hell. Like,
oh,
They were huge.
But it is funny, though. Like, and I do want to mention one thing before we get out of here to break, because I do want to bring up there was sad news yesterday in the world of Atlanta and college and NFL and all that with Dan Reeves passing. I want to mention that here quickly. But I always talk about Randy White. You know, Randy White was 6'4" and played interior defensive lineman at 250 pounds, Hugh. 250 pounds. Was a not – listen to me. 9-time first team all pro, not pro bowler, because he went to like 13 of those.
Mm-hmm.
9-time first team all pro at 250 pounds interior defensive lineman.
Do you
lineman.
Know that's the film when Sugar Bear Ray Hamilton, he was my defensive line coach when I got drafted. He used to make me sit down and watch film of Randy White.
Should.
Like, watch him.
Should.
You and him are built about the same.
250 interior defensive line.
He was a
beast. 9-time first team all NFL.
Yeah.
That's how good that guy was. Hey, I want to mention, I know we're running short on time. Dan Reeves yesterday passed, and Randy and I got a chance to talk about it. I've said this before, Hugh, and I'll say it again here because he deserves all the praise. I said, I got a chance to meet Dan. I got a chance to do some one-on-one with Dan, talk to him. He does I laugh because he does think that the Green Bay offensive line jumped early on the Ice Bowl touchdown by Bart Starr and all that. But Dan was one of the great guys of football. And I've said Dan Reeves and Bill Curry were the two greatest living ambassadors of football. When you talk about guys that did everything imaginable in the world of football and have seen everything and done everything, Dan Reeves was one of those guys. And, of course, was here for the Falcons Super Bowl run in 98 with the Dirty Birds. Obviously, his time with John Elway. Obviously, his decades with playing and coaching with Tom Landry and everything like that. He was one of the great ambassadors. And if you ever got a chance to sit down and talk with Dan, you came away feeling better about talking to him.
Yeah, he was a great coach, man. No question about that. And it's just sad. Like, him first, John Madden, and then him, like almost back to back. Yeah, that's a tough week.
And we lost Betty White, and you know, they come in threes, right? We lost John Madden, Betty White, and Dan Reeves, and like about a 3-day stretch. So.
Yeah.
All right. When we get back, we will get into some audio. We'll hear from the head coach. We'll hear from Matt Ryan. We'll hear from the defensive coordinator as we get you ready for Falcons and Buffalo coming up. Pregame coverage will start at 11 right here in your home of the Falcons. Sports right now to the game and on the Odyssey.com app.
Sports Radio 92.9 The Game.
Atlanta sports doesn't stop for the weekend.
Heck yeah.
And neither do we.
Keeping you up to date all weekend long.
It's just great.
On the weekends, that's all I listen to, really.
The Home. Selling a little or a lot. Shopify helps you do your thing, however you cha-ching. Shopify is the global commerce platform that helps you sell at every stage of your business. From the launch your online shop stage, to the first real-life store stage, all the way to the did we just hit a million orders stage. Shopify is here to help you grow. Whether you're selling scented soap or offering outdoor outfits, Shopify helps you sell everywhere. From their all-in-one e-commerce platform to their in-person POS system, wherever and whatever you're selling, Shopify's got you covered. Shopify helps you turn browsers into buyers with the internet's best converting checkout. 15% better on average compared to other leading commerce platforms. And sell more with less effort thanks to Shopify Magic, your AI-powered all-star. Shopify powers 10% of all e-commerce in the U.S. And Shopify is the global force behind Allbirds, Rothy's, and Brooklinen, and millions of other entrepreneurs of every size across 175 countries. Plus, Shopify's award-winning 24/7 help is there to support your success every step of the way. Because businesses that grow, grow with Shopify. Sign up for a $1 per month trial period at shopify.com/odysseypodcast, all lowercase. Go to shopify.com/odysseypodcast now to grow your business, no matter what stage you're in. Shopify.com/odysseypodcast.
We really need new phones.
T-Mobile will cover the cost of four amazing new iPhone 15s, and each line is only $25 a month.
New iPhone 15s? It's better
over here. Only at T-Mobile, get four iPhone 15s on us and four lines for $25 per line per month with eligible trade-in when you switch.
Minimum of 4 lines for $25 per line per month with auto pay discount using debit or bank account. $5 more per line without auto pay, plus taxes and fees. Phone fee 24 monthly bill credits for well qualified customers. Contact us before canceling account to continue bill credits or credit stop and balance on required finance agreement due. $35 per line connection charge applies. See T-Mobile.com.
Want to put your baseball skills to the test? Then get ready to show your stuff with MLB Pitch, Hit, and Run. The official youth skills competition of Major League Baseball. Sign up for free for a chance to play your way to the Pitch, Hit, and Run finals at the 2024 World Series. Visit pitchhitrun.com today.
For Atlanta sports on the weekends, Sports Radio 92.9 The Game.
You can't have a game without a tailgate party.
Perfect. There you go.
The Wade Ford Tailgate Show is on Sports Radio 92.9 The Game.
Khalif Raymond and Tom Kennedy go to the right side. The tight end is out of the order. They bring St. Brown and Josh Reynolds to the left. Craig Reynolds out of the backfield. Here's Boyle throwing. Intercepted. Boye Aluakun is going to win it for Atlanta.
Ah, yes, good times there. Falcons Radio Network bringing us back in. It is the Wade Ford Tailgate Show. Hanging out with you on a Sunday morning. John Chuckery, Hugh Douglas going to take you till 11 o'clock, and then we will hand it off to Falcons pregame coverage as the Falcons are in Buffalo, snowy, cold Buffalo. So here is a I saw Kelly Price from Fox 5 tweeting out pictures from her hotel room. It was already snowing and snow covered up there.
All right.
Hugh, it's going to be a high of 28 with a low of 12. There's a winter weathery advisory until 6. They already have snow on the ground. So, and I wanted to make sure I brought this up because I had to ask you a question about this. So the counties of Niagara, Orleans, Monroe, Wayne, Northern Erie and Genesee County are all under winter advisory up there. Did you ever drink Genesee beer?
I think I have. I was about to ask you, have you been to Buffalo before?
I have not.
It reminds you of Ohio.
Yeah, yeah. It's a working class town. Yeah, yeah, no doubt about it. Yeah.
It's like
Cleveland, Youngstown, yes, those kinds of cities.
I was about to say, because if you ever been, you get dropped into Buffalo, you'll feel right at home.
It's Chuck. Still amazing that they have an NFL and an NHL team in Buffalo. And they used to have an ABA team back in the day. But high of 28 today. Look, to me, snow is snow, cold is cold. I don't care if you play up there, don't play up there. I'm not as big on one team is more affected because, I don't know. You think those guys in Buffalo like playing in that stuff?
Those guys
like playing?
They don't like playing, but they're used to it.
Well, yeah. Listen, Josh Allen played at Wyoming.
It's a different animal. Like, let me just say this to you, man. Like, even in my year in Jacksonville, and I remember we were there. We went to New England, dude. It hits different, Chuck. That's when I knew. Like, I remember playing it. I remember going from Jacksonville up to New England playing there, and I knew. I remember I was going to make a tackle. And I dove, like, you know, a normal routine tackle,
right.
Dove and hit the ground. And I remember vividly bouncing off the ground. and remember every bounce. Normally, I don't remember those. Like, you just don't remember. And I remember bouncing, and I was like, man, I got to get the hell out of here. Like, I got to get the hell out of here. That's when I knew it was a wrap for me. Because if you ask anybody that has played football, when you try to tackle somebody, you fall, you don't feel the fall. You don't feel it. You don't feel it at all. Because it's just like, it's what you do. But when I felt that fall, I felt every hit after that. I was like, yeah, it's time to go.
Yeah.
It was just, so the weather, I think the weather played a factor in that because, you know, coming from Florida and it was snowing there and the right. ground was hard, it does play a factor. And it's a mental thing, too. It's definitely a mental thing because I remember playing against teams that would come down, the Southern teams that would come to Philly and play, and you see, like, receivers and skill position players come outside and they had the big parkas on. They're trying to warm up and they got the hand warmer mitts and stuff
yep,
like that.
Yep.
So it does. It's psychologically it does because then you have like say the offensive lineman for the Eagles or somebody come out and they're butt
short
naked.
Sleeves.
Naked or some shorts on. So it's a psychological game at that point.
Well, we'll see what it looks like up there, but it is going to be kind of snowy and wintry and all that. We'll see what the Falcons can do in this. And Buffalo's obviously a very good team, so we'll be previewing this thing all day long. Let's get to some audio here. Let's start with the head coach, Arthur Smith. Obviously, COVID has been a major story in the NFL and what's happening. Falcons, of course, were the first 100% vaccinated team in the league. Here's Arthur Smith talking about how they've handled COVID and the unavailable players.
We'll coach the entire roster. Everybody's got to be ready to go every Sunday. That hasn't changed. We'll deal with whatever obstacles thrown our way. And where our guys have the right mindset. I'll deal with whatever realities they present to us. And you take it case by case. It's not going to be one size fits all. Obviously, everybody that wasn't hibernating the last 48 hours know the CDC changed their protocols. The league updated theirs. It's everything's, you know, as everything in life, you got to be able to adapt. So there's optimism that we can get some guys back, but again, it's case by case.
Don't you, and I know the Falcons brought some, I was trying to see about who they activated off the COVID list, because I did see yesterday that they had brought some players back. But don't you feel like in a lot of ways, you, the NFL, just as a whole, is just trying to get through these next couple of weeks, and then we'll figure out the playoffs from there? By the way, Brandon Copeland, Felipe Franks, and Richie Grant are all off the COVID list today.
What did you ask me? Do I feel like they're moving the meter just to get these games
played? Yeah,
no comment.
Yeah.
No comment.
Wow. That's the first time I've heard that.
Yeah, yeah. Because I don't want to politicize this thing there, John Chucker. I don't want to do
not
that.
Me. That's your morning guy. Vote in our poll.
Did they move the line just so they could play games? Are you kidding me? They would never do that. You're talking about all this money on the line? It's all about people's health.
And safety. Here's Arthur Smith talking about the weather affecting the game in Buffalo.
It'll change every day. I know the lake effect that it can have coming off Lake Erie. You know, we wake up Sunday, you look at the forecast, but just expect the unexpected. And we'll control what we can control. And certainly you got to make decisions, you know, based on the environment and the circumstances there. I know everybody saw what happened, you know, that New England game up there and the way the wind was blowing. But that happens and we'll have to adjust. But again, we're excited. They tell us to go play wherever. We're excited for the opportunity, whether it's snow, rain, sleet, sun, whatever. We're ready. We'll be ready to roll.
Chicago famous for its win. How is Buffalo up there? Any of those Cleveland in the old days, at the Municipal Stadium always had
thing,
a lot of wind as well, right on Lake Erie.
Oh, that thing.
Because that's where the cold comes in, is when that lake effect comes in. That's when
cold
that's the biting cold that
it
comes through.
It's cold
you.
Up there. Who was that? What was it? We played up there. It was Buffalo. It was Bruce Smith. Who was the linebacker? Pap? Was it Bryce Pop?
Bryce Pop. Yes. Yeah, because that was Biscuit and
yeah,
all those guys.
That's right there, boy.
Yeah, that was
they had a defense, yeah. It's cold. It gets cold in Buffalo.
Yeah.
I remember just like, because the stadium is kind of like, Chuck, it's like, okay, say like, for instance, you're driving through a suburb in Buckhead, and then all of a sudden, boom, it's a stadium.
Right.
It's kind of like that.
Right.
And you see all like snow, like 50 inches of snow or whatever, then they got all the stadium, like boom, you see the stadium, and they got it all plowed out, and it is biting cold. It is cold. Like, it's a different kind of cold when you get close to that water.
Yeah, the wind effect.
Yeah,
again,
I've
been up in Cleveland in that stadium right on Lake Erie in the old days when it would be nasty up
there. They're lucky they're playing early, because if they were playing like a 4 o'clock game, ooh, That thing hit different when that sun go down.
They much like the way that you would do Florida games, they would try to avoid, like in baseball, they try not to do 1 o'clock because of the heat and stuff. I'm sure they try to keep all Buffalo home games at 1 o'clock if they can. I mean, yeah, there's some primetime games and stuff like that when, you know, if it's like the Chiefs or a marquee matchup or something like that. But I'm sure they try to keep most of these at 1 o'clock. Here's Arthur Smith talking about the Bills' defense and how they know their roles and assignments.
They know what they're looking for. I think it shows they've had a good vision with Sean McDermott, Brandon Bean, their staffs. You know, I think this is what you're seeing with competent leadership and consistency year over year, what they're drafting for. And they know what they're asked to do. I think they got two safeties that are really underrated, the impact they have on most games, and Poyer and Hyde. And I have a ton of respect. They're it's a well-built team top to bottom.
I was asking you before because Leslie Frazier is their defensive coordinator. You know Leslie, don't you?
Yeah.
I know he was in Philadelphia for a little bit, and he's obviously been both a DC and a
head coach
and everything else in the league.
Yeah, Leslie's a just looking at it from afar, look like he's running a Jim Johnson's defense, the kind of defense that we ran in Philadelphia, where you know you blitz a lot, you blitz on rundowns and things like that. You try to put pressure on the quarterback. You play the philosophy is bend but don't break, you know. Make sure that when you get close to the 20s, you bow your neck a little bit and you keep them from getting in the end zone. So they're going to be aggressive.
They don't have one guy that gets after the quarterback. Addison leads their team with only 4 sacks. But, you know, they've got Obata has 3.5. Rousseau, the rookie from Miami, he's got 3. You know, they've got a whole group of guys that are like 2, 1, 1.5. Do you like a defense that has 1 or 2 guys that really get after it, or a defense that can get you from a lot of different places?
I like a defense that has a couple guys that can get after it. Sometimes it doesn't work out that way, so you have to play like defense by committee.
Right.
You know, run a lot of stunts and stuff up front.
Right. Because that's the Falcons, is defense by committee.
Yeah. I know for this game, Ed Oliver is questionable. He was a guy. He's a guy that in the middle, he's a stud.
Yeah.
He's a stud in the middle. But to answer your question, it's always nice to have 1 or 2 guys that are red dot guys, if you will, the guys that you look at and say, hey, in order for us to have success, we need to stop this guy.
Uh-huh.
It's you got to have a couple of those guys.
Yeah.
On any level, whether it be a linebacker or a defensive line, but preferably a defensive lineman.
Here's Matt Ryan talking about the Bills' defense and what a challenge it will be.
Really good defense. You know, talented in the front 7. You know, good front 4, good interior players in the front 4. Strong and physical. 2 really good safeties. You know, they're very strong up the middle. They've had some injuries at the corner spot, but you know, with them playing so aggressive and playing so well up front, I think it, you know, that's the strength of that unit. So it's going to be a good challenge for us, right where you want to be this time of the year, playing against really good football teams, playoff implications on the line. And so, you know, I'm excited about that challenge this Sunday.
He mentioned their 2 safeties, Poyer and Hyde. They both have, Hugh, 5 interceptions on the season. They've got a good group of defensive backs, Tre'Davious White, Teron Johnson, Micah Hyde, obviously one of their top safeties. So it is a good secondary, and it will be interesting to see the philosophy of the Falcons. I know they want to run the football and things like that, but, you know, when you you want to, sort of like last week, you know, play with the lead, play with, you know, good down and distance, get ahead of the chains. This is a defense that you don't want to start getting into 2nd and 3rd and longs and then be forced to have to try to start throwing against them.
Yeah, man. I mean, we've seen this team, like, they're a gritty squad, the Atlanta Falcons, that is. And we saw last week Matt get beat up a little bit, but he was still able to come away with the W. Struggled, if you will, even though you got the win. Not taking anything away from the win. You struggled against Detroit Lions. But this team, you definitely want to keep everything in manageable downs. You'd want to try to keep your quarterback upright as much as possible, and you want to try to run the ball. Can't stress enough this time of year how being able to run the ball takes a lot of pressure off your quarterback, i.e. Bryce Young and the Alabama Crimson Tide from the other day.
Well, yeah. Except you don't get to play Cincinnati every week.
Yeah. I'm not comparing Buffalo to Cincinnati in any stretch.
Yeah, you don't get to do all that. But to your point, you know, the Falcons, after that good stretch of 3 games over 120 yards, last week, Hugh, 47 yards. The week before that, 62. So they've only run for 109 yards in the last 2 weeks. Quickly, I want to hear from Dean Pease as he talks about the Buffalo quarterback, Josh Allen, and all the tools that he has.
Well, he's a big guy. He's just really talented. I mean, the guy can run. He's hard to bring down. He's big. He breaks tackles. You know, he's got a strong arm. He can throw every ball. He can throw it 75 yards. I mean, he's just a extremely, extremely talented young man.
For now, I will say I've definitely been wrong about Josh Allen. He's over 4,000 yards, 34 touchdowns. He's also their second leading rusher, Hugh. He's got 619 yards on the ground. I said coming out of college to me that Josh Allen was the kind of quarterback that will get your GM fired out of all of it. But so far in these first few years, I mean, they were in the AFC title game last year. So far, so good. But, you know, they're playing in must-win, you know, today as well to stay ahead of New England. But 4,000 yards and 34 touchdowns, man. Can't argue with the success that he's had.
No, but the thing that scares me going into this game, Chuck, is the fact that he can pull it down and run.
Oh, yeah. He can, yeah.
I mean,
because that's gone real well for the Falcons.
Yeah. And like I said last week, I haven't seen a game this year where the Falcons have had success keeping outside contained.
Right.
I mean, that's the truth. And if I'm a quarterback and I know that I would go into this game trying to run my game plan. You know, throw the ball down the field, go through my progressions, all of that stuff. But I know in the back of my mind, if it goes south, I can always rely on my legs to make the first down. It's just one of those things where that's your go-to. That's your ace in the hole, if you will, is that your quarterback is mobile enough to get this defense on his heels.
Yeah, that's why if you can, again, if you sack guys and you create down and distance where it's second and third and long and it's not third and one and he can just get outside and pick up that yard or two, I mean, that's where it gets frustrating for you. All right, we'll take a look around the rest of the league and the action going on as lots of playoff implications. We don't have a lot of stuff set so far in the NFL, so we'll talk about the remaining schedule up next. It is the Wait For It Tailgate Show. Hugh Douglas, John Chuckery, Sports Radio 99 The Game, Odyssey.com app.
Sports Radio 92.9 The Game.
Check it out.
The home for Atlanta sports on the weekend.
The whole weekend. Radio on the weekend.
The weekend.
Atlanta sports doesn't stop for the weekend, and neither do we. Sports Radio 92.9 The Game.
We're challenging everybody. If you're going to get out there and beat us, you're going to have to beat us, you know?
Back to the Wade Ford Tailgate Show.
On Sports Radio 92.9 The Game.
Sports Radio 92.9 The Game. Back with you on the Wade Ford Tailgate Show. Hanging out with you on a warm but wet Sunday morning. Certainly nicer here than it does up in Buffalo. It was 75 degrees yesterday, Hugh. In Atlanta on July or on January 1st.
Beautiful day, man.
75 degrees on January 1st.
You know what? And it was funny. In my neighborhood, a lot of people were out, you know, because I have a couple high-end restaurants in my neighborhood. And people had their little dress clothes on, and they were out, you know, soiree
and
all that other good stuff. It was
a lot of cops out yesterday. I know that. There were a lot of cops on the
road.
Oh,
yeah. You know what's funny? It was a lot of cops out on the way to work today, too.
Yeah.
Especially coming down 400. So be careful out there, you know. Run around like it's the Fast and the Furious.
Are you giving your John Freaky traffic report?
Yeah, be careful out there.
And watch the wet spots on
slap
the road.
The bag when you drink the wine. And
if you see standing water, don't break. I don't know. Maybe you. I don't know. I vote in our poll. as we look around the rest of the league, Hugh. Chefs and Bengals today.
The Chefs.
This could be the AFC title game. But as crazy as that sounds, Hugh, Chiefs in Cincinnati today. Now, reverse it because it would be Cincinnati going to Kansas City. But this could be a potential AFC title game matchup today.
Oh, man. The way that Cincinnati has been playing this year in a division where, let's be honest, Baltimore, when Lamar Jackson gets hurt, that changes the dynamic. Everything, man. And Cincinnati is in prime position to take full advantage of that. Why? Wow. The Baltimore Ravens are in fighting for their playoff lives.
And right Cleveland now. Can't get out of its own way.
Man,
and neither can Pittsburgh.
Baker Mayfield. You know what it was with South of Baker Mayfield? When Baker started tripping on the fans?
Yeah.
And the fans turned on him?
Oh, yeah.
And
yeah.
then, you know, the whole – like, listen, I
– All that goodwill he built up, he's eroded
I don't condone threatening anybody and their wives or anything like that on social media because that, to me, that's just the coward's way to do things.
Right.
But, you know – Baker, when he said he didn't care about the fans, you know, some people took that personally.
Well, up there, you know as well as I do.
Yeah, we're from there.
Yeah, up there.
You don't do that, man. You don't do that.
Not to that group. Not after what they had happen to them. You know?
All those years.
No, you don't do that. Joe Burrow, by the way, 4,165 yards and 30 touchdowns.
They look like they got a special one, man.
Yeah.
Obviously,
Jamar Chase has had a monster year. He's got 68 catches for 1,163 yards. But I will tell you this. Is there anybody in the NFL right now playing better than the Kansas City Chiefs? Because they have won 8 in a row, and they are rolling.
You know, it's funny. I was talking to a friend of mine that used to work for the Chiefs. And he was telling me that's Big Red's M.O., Andy Reid. You know, beat you up in the first couple of months of the season and then pull it back, and then you start to play good football around this time of year. That defense is playing well. The quarterback, all those rumors of his demise – were greatly exaggerated. Only thing we got to do, only thing Kansas City needs to do right now is get Patrick Mahomes' brother under wraps.
Jackson.
Hey, what's his name, Jackson? Yeah. Hey, if you could just put a muzzle on that cat.
Because I've done 3 What's Bugging Chuckeries on Jackson Mahomes this year because of his nutty
you know
behavior.
You know what needs to happen? And I don't condone violence. I don't. But somebody needs to punch him in the face. He just needs to get punched in the face really, really hard. And get put to sleep, and he'll realize that he is not as untouchable as he thinks.
Yeah,
he is.
I mean, his brother needs to treat him, you know, like a veal and put him in a box and just, you know, move him to the side and just keep him isolated, not let him get out front and get himself in trouble.
But just because of the way that you treat people, man, just because your brother is the man, don't do that.
Right.
Don't do that. That is not the route to go, especially when you are obviously the less talented of the two, the way less talented of the two. You're riding the coattails of your brother's success. Come on, man. Don't do that.
Yeah.
Don't do that. That's not hiding streets.
Believe it or not, this is a huge matchup, but today as well, Hugh. The Dolphins head into Tennessee. Tennessee at 10-5 this year. Speaking of hot teams, the Dolphins are now 8-7. They have won 7 in a row. We talked about they were 1-5, I think, when the Falcons beat them.
Yes.
But you know, Hugh, I will say,
riding their defense, got the most sacks in the league right now, 33?
And their rookie class has really given them a boost. I mean, Phillips has got, I think, 9 sacks on the season as a rookie on there. We talked about who's the kid that's the safety for them that's been really good there. And obviously, Waddle has had a big year for them. Their rookie class has really given them a boost. And all of a sudden now, because if you look at the numbers of Tua, they're all right, but they're nothing special. Tua's not had a very good year. And then, of course, remember, Jacoby Brissett played a few games, you know, in there. But you're right. Their defense, and especially their rookie class this year, has given them a huge boost. And all of a sudden, they're looking at playoffs now.
Yeah, man. They're fighting for their playoff lives, and they're trying to get it done. But, boy, you know, you're talking about the Titans in the same situation. They're playing. They're fighting to stay alive.
Yeah, well, and they're number 2 in the AFC right now, only behind Kansas City. But you're trying to stay ahead of Buffalo and Cincinnati, you know, to try to, you know, stay at that higher seed right now. Give Tennessee a lot of credit. I didn't know what that season would look like after Derrick Henry, you know, went down, but they've figured out a way to get it done this year, and here they are at 10-5 on the season. They had a hell of a year. Maybe Vrabel is a pretty good coach after all.
Maybe. I mean, he's getting it done, man. And, you know, for them to have that kind of turnaround and have the success that they're having, you know, with everybody being hurt, it's pretty impressive. What is Julio giving them this year, though? No disrespect, not trying to be disrespectful.
Not much.
But I was just asking, because he's been kind of banged up the whole season.
Yeah.
And that was somebody that they were definitely counting on.
And both their wide receivers. You know, A.J. Brown has been beat up this year as well. Let's give you a statistical update. Julio Jones on the season has given you 26 catches for 376 yards. Guess how many touchdowns that he has this year? How many touchdowns do you think Julio has this year?
3.
You're way high.
1?
You're way high.
None.
Yep.
Damn.
He's played 9 games, 39 targets, 26 catches, 376 yards, 14.5 yards per reception. You can't argue with that. But he has 0 touchdowns on the season. So averages about 42 yards a game and 66.7% catch percentage on the season. So there you go. This is an interesting game, Hugh, in the NFC today, because these are two teams that what's interesting is the Cowboys, for their flaws, have been terrific of late. And Arizona of late has been a disaster. But these are two of the best teams in the NFC that a lot of people look and say how many flaws and warts that they have. Cardinals go into the Cowboys today. It does feel like we'll learn some things about both of these teams today because it's been going in opposite directions. But Cowboys have 11 wins and Arizona has 10, so they're not very far apart record-wise.
Yeah, and right now I know that a lot of people feel like the Cowboys have the hottest offense in the NFL. I mean, they're playing well despite...
They have the best point differential in the NFC, plus 150 on the season for the Cowboys.
Yeah, man, and that deep, like, Michael Parsons, we can't say enough about Michael Parsons.
Well, their defense is so good, Dan Quinn's going to get a head coaching job again. That's how good their defense has been.
Indeed.
That's how good Micah Parsons has been.
That is absolute. That's the absolute truth. I think I picked the Dallas Cowboys reluctantly to win this game today because you just can't deny what they've been doing. And a lot of people feel like the Cowboys are going to be the representative for the NFC in the Super Bowl.
Man, they're one of those teams that everybody wants to try to pick apart. But you, to your point, you look at them offensively and what they've done defensively. Parsons, by the way, is up to 13 sacks on the season. Yeah. He has 18 tackles for loss and 13 sacks. Is that a good rookie year? Is that pretty good to have 13 sacks in 15 games as
and
a rookie?
And be considered as a
he may be the defensive player of the year.
Yeah, defensive player of the year.
He may be the defensive player of the year.
I mean, I think that's a hell of a season. It's something that I've never been close to being. So I would say that's pretty darn impressive.
Another game of some note, we talked about the Ravens and some of their struggles, and obviously if they've been beat up, banged up, they've dealt with COVID, all these kinds of things. Still sitting at 8-7. They've lost four in a row now, so they've dropped a game behind Cincinnati. They get the Rams, and you want to talk about another team, Hugh, in the NFC especially, that Rams now lead that division. Rams have won four in a row, and don't look now, Von Miller has gotten healthy and gotten back. And, boy, if he kind of gets some of that get back to him on that defense.
With him and
Aaron Donald.
Yeah.
Who's still probably the best defensive player in the NFL.
Probably.
But if they get – well, so he's the best defensive player in the NFL.
I know Micah's having a hell of a year. But when you look at the body of work.
Oh, yeah, the body of work, there's no doubt. Yeah. I'm just talking about for this season. But I don't think Donald's going to win the defensive player of the year. I think Parsons are one of those guys going to win. But if Von Miller can get right, and I think he had his first sack last week for the Rams, he looks like he's starting to get healthy and figure some things out. Rams are going to be a really tough out in the NFC.
Yeah, man, and today I think, if I'm not mistaken, I was watching the Sports Center this morning. Von Miller was talking about how he feels like this game for them today is a must win. Got
to
win.
Keep the playoff. They're trying to stay ahead of Arizona in the division. They've clinched a playoff spot, so they're good to go as far as that goes. But they're trying to obviously win the division. And remember now, in this playoff format that we have now, only one team gets a bye.
Yeah.
So only the number one seed in your conference gets a bye out of all of this. So, you know, everybody's trying to still get their wins. Some of the games, also, I was looking at some of the schedule this week. Lions and Seahawks, that should be canceled in the NFL this week. Giants and Bears should be canceled in the NFL this week. The Buccaneers get to go to the Jets, so they get a layup win, so they can stay pace. Raiders and Colts. Colts, all of a sudden, another team in the AFC that a lot of people like. Boy, how about they played last week with their offensive – what, they had every – did they have every guy on their offensive line that was out or something like that?
The Colts?
Yeah.
With the COVID, right? They had
the COVID. Yeah. Quentin Nelson and all those guys were out for the – imagine having – there comes a point, Hugh, where people talk about depth in the NFL. There's only so many guys you can replace in the NFL. Like, you can say you have depth and people say, oh, well, the Falcons don't have depth. Nobody has that kind of depth in the NFL. That's what's killed the Saints is you have seven starters out on offense, Hugh. There's no such thing as you can replace seven starters on one side of the football in
that's
the NFL.
That's a tough ask. No question about that. That is a real tough ask. And if I'm not mistaken, isn't for the Colts, Carson Wentz, he's in the COVID protocol
I think he came out.
He came, okay.
Yes, I think he came out yesterday.
There was some conversation with Phillip Rivers and everything.
Yeah, because he's not, because, you know, Wentz's thing, I think he's not vaccinated and all that stuff. But I think
the unvaxxed.
Yes, I think he came out of the protocol yesterday. If you're interested, Panthers go into New Orleans today as the Saints right now sit at what they're tied with the Falcons at 7-8. They of course lost last week. Obviously next week, rivalry week, and you know we'll see what it looks like with Saints and
rivalry.
Carolina. Whew. I mean,
there are a lot of people feeling like not a lot of people.
Are some people still trying to sell me that Cam Newton's Matt still Rule. A good quarterback or anything?
I don't think nobody's trying to sell that. I think they're trying to figure out whether or not Matt Rule is going to survive this. Coach Rule, I should say.
What year is he in? Second? So you're going to fire him after 2 years, huh?
I'm saying that's the narrative that some people – that's the stance that some people choose to take. I don't see it happening. Just like, you know, they were talking about David Culley's probably going to get fired after the year, this year. I don't know. I don't know if I believe that either.
By the way, your Eagles are in Washington. They got to keep pace. They're 8-7. They've won 3 in a row.
Yes.
All of a sudden in Philly. It's funny. They love their quarterback 1 week. They hate their quarterback
that's
one week.
That's Philadelphia.
Yeah.
I mean, that's Philly. And, you know, it's funny. I was talking to a friend of mine about that. He does a podcast in Philadelphia. And I said, hey, listen, as a player, you can't get mad at the player if he decides to take his talent somewhere else, like Carson Wentz did.
Mm-hmm.
You know, fans get in their feelings and everything about that.
Well, he was no good, though, at the end of his
career. Yeah, he wasn't. Really. But still, they wanted him to stay. Some people were torn about it. But, you know, at the quarterback position, you got to understand, those are probably some of the most sensitive individuals on the planet. And I know it probably didn't help the cause any when you heard, you know, Gardner Minshew coming off the game that he had, and then he going into the coach's office and ask what he has to do to start. And then you had the game last week with Jalen Hurts, basically, didn't take care of the football. They won the game, but they were talking about the fact that Coach Sirianni called him out, talking about he wasn't taking care of the football.
Right.
So you got all of that going on. So don't be mad if he decides that, you know, I know it's not going to happen, but if he doesn't have the same kind of love that you have for him, knowing that you're as fickle as you are. But the bottom line is this. Everybody wants to win, man. Everybody wants to go to the playoffs.
Right.
You want to get – it is what it is.
Yeah, I mean, Philly fans want to be in the playoffs first and foremost. And
is what it is. It's a fickle mistress, no question.
Speaking of pickle.
Fickle.
Oh, yeah. Sorry. When we get back, we will get to the game day injury report. We'll take a look at the who's in and who's out. One more hour to go on the Wade Ford Tailgate Show, then we'll get you into Falcons pregame coverage. Sports right now to the game, Odyssey.com app.
T-Mobile has invested billions to light up America's largest 5G network from big cities to small towns, including right here in yours. And great coverage is just the beginning. Right now, families and small businesses can save up to 20% versus AT&T and Verizon when they switch. Visit your local T-Mobile store today.
Plan savings with 3 lines of T-Mobile Essentials versus comparable available plans. Plan features and taxes and fees may vary.
Want to put your baseball skills to the test? Then get ready to show your stuff with MLB Pitch, Hit, and Run. The official youth skills competition of Major League Baseball. Sign up for free for a chance to play your way to the Pitch, Hit, and Run finals at the 2024 World Series. Visit pitchhitrun.com today.